Father, thank you for your kindness and your goodness today. And Lord, we just want to pause right now before we go to your word and ask just very specifically, Lord, that you would meet each person here at the point of their need. Father, there's a lot of people in this room representing a lot of troubles, a lot of issues, a lot of situations, a lot of hurts, a lot of habits, a lot of hang-ups. And Holy Spirit, here's what we know. You're able to come right now and make all of those situations right. So we invite you to do so. You know, if you're here right now and you've brought into this room just a wheelbarrow full of stuff, and it has occupied your mind, even the great worship we've just had and time with Ryan and what's going on in this service hasn't been able to focus you in. If you're still not able to focus, take just a moment right now and ask the Lord to help you. Just ask him. Say, Lord, you know what's going on in my life. You know what's going on in my mind. You know what's going on in my heart. Help me to set that aside and to hear from you. Maybe the solution, the answer to your problem will be today. You'll find it today in God's word. But you have to have ears to hear. You have to be able to focus. Well, Father, I want to thank you for everyone in this room. They are sheep of your fold, and you love them with an unbelievable love. And so, Lord, now as we look to your word, I pray you would open our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Grace Kids, where are you? Grace Kids, just tell me love them. That is awesome. Great. You know, we were talking today, and the great thing about being in a young church is you're never short of children. We have so many babies coming over the next few months. I mean, it's going to be really, really amazing. So we're going to be ramping up our nursery again pretty strong. So all of you folks who've been wanting to work in the nursery, you will get your chance. And we will absolutely let you do that. That's going to be an awesome thing. Man, they are great. Isn't it great to be in a church filled with kids? Amen. That is awesome. That is a great thing. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I want to ask you to remember with me for a minute today. I want to ask you to remember with me. Go back. Now, for some of you, it's going to be just a few years. A few, four or five. For some of you, it might be decades. We're not going to point people out that it's more than decades. But do you remember back to your first love? Nobody smiling. This is a bad day. Come on, do you remember back to your first love? Anybody? You remember back then? How many of you were blessed to marry your first love? Anybody blessed to marry your first love? Right? Great. That's a few, not many. Okay, so let me ask you this. If you don't want to remember back to your first love, because obviously that wasn't a winner. Do you remember your first heartbreak? How many of you remember your first heartbreak? How many of you, if you still see them out and around, you sort of want to run them over a little bit? You don't want to run them over a lot. I mean, you just want to nudge them, you know, like just bumper them a little bit. I mean, not like wham, you know, not like pancake them, but, you know, just sort of kiss them a little bit with a bumper. Let them know. Anybody? No, you don't want to do that? Well, some of you might. One thing is true. If you've lived long enough, and all of us in this room have, you're going to experience heartbreak. Now, heartbreak comes from a number of ways. First, it could come, obviously, through romantic relationships gone bad, and that's the typical kind. You know, you fall in love, you walk down an aisle, it's supposed to be forever, and unfortunately, it's not. And someone walks out of that with a broken heart, and it's tragic, and it's sad. Some of you may have had your heart broken by your children. Your children have grown up, you've raised them right, you've tried hard to instill the principles and the truths in their life so they walk right and do right, and they end up, if this is the right road, they end up going this way. And it just breaks your heart, and it's hard to get over. I mean, heartbreak is real no matter where it comes from. How about this? Some of you have had your heart broken by your friends. The greatest heartbreak I've ever had in my life was from a friend. It was from a friend who asked me to come work with him, and I did, and I thought it was going to be like old college days. And something happened. He had sort of changed, and I hadn't, and it didn't work. And it took me decades. My wife can attest to this. It took me decades to get over that heartbreak. Heartbreak is real. And it's profound. And there's some of you sitting in this room right now, right here, and here's what I know. It's just true with this many people. Some of you are sitting here right now, and your heart's been broken. It might have been a year ago. It might have been 10 years ago. It might have been by a spouse, a parent, a child, a friend. But that heartbreak is still defining who you are. You have made decisions and not made decisions. You have made choices, not made choices. You've reacted and interacted based upon that heartbreak more so than anything else. You're sitting here right now, a broken person. You're fractured. Your heart's been broken. Maybe you've moved on in the surface, superficially you've moved on, but deep down, your heart is still broken, and you still carry the pain, the scars, and the disappointment for however your heart was broken. And it's real, and it's devastating, and you know what? You would never admit it in public right here in this room with, you know, a few hundred people, but you know what? You know deep inside it's true. At night, in still moments, you still, within your mind and within your heart, you still replay the words that were said to you, the things that were done to you, and the pain that you felt. And you come here today, and you've worshiped, and you've gathered, and we're so thankful you're here. Thank you so much for coming. We're glad that you're here. But you come here, and you can only half-heartedly worship because the other half of your heart is still broken. So I want to talk to you today and give you four principles that will help heal a broken heart. If you're here today and you have a whole heart, maybe that's not you. Maybe you're saying, gosh, Terry, you know, I really hate it for people like that. That's horrible. I believe it's true. People could come with broken hearts. But, man, I'm good. Things are great in my life. I mean, I'm moving along, and it is super. I want to say amen for you. So this message might not be for you, but it might be for someone you know. It might be for a friend that you have. Here's what you might need to do, and I'm going to ask you to do it. When you get out of here today, if it's not for you, you may need to get online and go to somebody and say, hey, look, you need to listen to this message. Not because it's me. Gosh, no, I have a great face for radio. Anybody with me? Right? I don't. People shouldn't have to see me on Facebook, right? I mean, I have got a great face for radio, and that's the way, you know, that's, so it's not that. But God's word is true, and his principles are true. And I firmly believe if somebody will get this into their life today, even though their heart has been broken profoundly, God can heal it today. I promise you he can. So the first thing we have to look at, there's four things we're going to look at. These are truths. These are principles of God's word. And I promise you, if you hear them, accept them, and apply them, God will move you toward healing today. The first one is this: no one is perfect. Now, that's clearly stated in Ecclesiastes 7. If you have your Bible, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, 21. Look at what Solomon says. Now, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. The first thing we got to get, and we got to understand it, is nobody perfect. When you walk down that aisle, I know it's been 25 years ago I walked down the aisle with Renee. I was very blessed. We were very blessed. We had really, really good premarital counseling. A guy named Joe Phillips did it. Joe's an Assembly of God evangelist, and he counseled us, and he poured into us. And so we walk down that aisle, I think, with as much our eyes open as can be. But a lot of people walk down the aisle, and they think some crazy things. They're thinking in 30 years, she's just going to look better than today. 30 years, his hair is going to look like it does today, right? See that? That wasn't like that 30 years ago when Renee and I met, right? It has changed a little bit. And you walk down the aisle and you think, man, 30 years from now, all these wonderful things you promised, all of them are going to come true. I promised my wife one thing. It was going to be a journey. And I have lived up to my word. It has been a journey, right? And but we go down the aisle and we have this idealized version of life and we think nothing's going to change, everything's going to be right. But here's the problem. Both people standing in front of that pastor are broken people. Now, there might be different degrees of brokenness in their life, but both people are broken. Here's what happens when you're born. You're born into a family. You can't make that decision, but a lot of the decisions that they make will make you. And they will begin to shape your life either positively or negatively. And you'll grow and you'll develop. But they will begin to do things oftentimes that will bring brokenness into your life. For example, if you're born into a home where there is a never satisfying standard, here's what that means. If you bring home all A's, why didn't you bring home all A pluses? If you bring home all A pluses, why aren't you the quarterback of the football team? right? Well, if you're the quarterback of the football team, why aren't you the, you know, center and point guard on the basketball team at the same time? Okay, you get the idea? It's this never-increasing standard of excellence that's imposed on you. Now, it is a healthy thing to set high goals. It's a healthy thing to have good discipline. It's a healthy thing to work hard. It's a healthy thing to not be satisfied with doing less than your best. Those are healthy things. But it's a disastrous thing for you to begin to interpret yourself by a standard that no one can achieve. And that's one thing that parents do inadvertently that begins to break people. Because if you're raised in that environment, you're going to expect that of other people. And let me just tell you something. You go into a marriage and you start criticizing your wife every day, you start criticizing your husband every day, and they're never good enough, and they're never this enough, and they're never that enough. I'm not a prophet, but let me give you a prophetic word. That marriage will end. Well, it's their fault. They didn't step it up. Well, I promise you this, they'll step out. If you have this unrelenting, increasing standard that you're constantly imposing on the other person, and it's critical and it's nasty, listen, they're not gonna stay. Broken people break people. Some of you walked down the aisle with someone who was really broken and you didn't know it. And when you got married, their brokenness maybe was sitting for a year, maybe a decade, maybe 2 decades, maybe 3 decades. Maybe their brokenness was covered up. But eventually the brokenness has to come out. And they begin to break people. And that started happening in your life and in your marriage. And some of you sit here today, and I'm so sorry for you. And I really am. And man, our prayers are for you. You're sitting here today because you married someone who was really broken, and then they broke your heart. And I'm sorry for you. And the Lord is sorry for you. Some of you have children. You have sacrificed and sacrificed and poured your life into them. But then as they became adults, and we all become adults, they begin to make choices and decisions. And those choices and decisions have led them down a road that is so opposite of anything you ever wanted for them or planned for them. And they don't call. They don't come around. They're not appreciative. They don't love like they should. And you're sitting here today with a broken heart, and I'm so sorry for you. Some of your hearts were broken by a friend, as mine was. The promise of great times and good productive work becomes a nightmare, and it breaks your heart, and it takes you decades to get over it. Now, we have to understand this also about brokenness. No one's perfect, so life happens. It happens. You're here today with the first thing you got to get is what happened to you has happened to millions of people before you, will happen to hundreds of millions of people after you. It is common to man. So the good news is, as others have gotten over it and through it and grown from it, so can you. Amen. You can do it. You can move through it. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to stay planted where you are. You can move beyond the brokenness, beyond the pain, beyond the disappointment, to something bigger and better. I promise you, you can get there. You really, truly can. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says that brokenness is real. Sometimes we experience it, and as Ecclesiastes 21 says, sometimes we're the ones saying the bad stuff. It happens on both ends. So the first step toward healing is to recognize that where you are is not an unnatural place. You have to accept it as a part of life. Now, second thing, very quickly, because of that, because you've been rejected, because you've been hurt, here's what's going to happen. You're going to naturally begin to believe that you're less than other people. Turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Scripture's pretty clear. It uses a great word here. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says this. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That word workmanship is a cool word. It's the Greek word poema. It means masterpiece. It means unique, specific creation. You are uniquely, specifically created by God. Now, you have to think about that for a minute. You're not a photocopy, right? You're not a Xerox, when we used to use that phrase, right? You're not a repeat. God doesn't have like 7 models, and you're one of 7 models, and, oh, I think I'll punch out model C today, bam, you know, and here you are. You're not that. You are a unique creation. Now, why does that matter? If you're sitting here with a broken heart today, let me tell you some of the feelings you have. Listen, here's some of the feelings. You feel rejected. You feel marginalized. You feel unimportant. You feel less than others. One of the things when you get a broken heart that you automatically start doing is you start comparing. Comparing becomes the enemy of your mind. You start comparing. You're driving down the road. You look next, and, you know, if you're a woman here with a broken heart, you see a woman over there. Oh, well, God, you must have really loved her because, look, you made her like that and me, you know, sort of like this, right? If you're a guy, you're driving down a road, and, oh, man, there's a guy. He's got him a new truck, pulling into a new house. God, you must have really made him smarter than me, with more opportunity than me, and all this kind of stuff. Man, that's just really an amazing thing. You must love him more than you love me. Listen to what Ephesians 2 is saying. Ephesians 2 is saying that you are a unique, specific creation, designed by God, specifically shaped and made and put together exactly like God wanted you. And if he had it to do over again, guess what? He would do it exactly the same way. He didn't shank one here, right? God wasn't up there, you know, trying to hit a nice drive down the middle. Oh, I just shanked one off to the right. I maybe better mulligan on Bart over there, right, man? You know, I gotta get a mulligan on Bart. Wham, okay, I hit it good that time. That is not how this works. God did not drop the ball on you. He did not shank it on you. He does not need a mulligan on you. He made you exactly like he wanted you. He formed you and framed you exactly like he wanted. Psalm 139 says that when you were in the womb of your mother, he formed and shaped together your members and your body and wove it together exactly like he wanted. You came out exactly like God wanted you to come out. But you're sitting here today feeling rejected, okay? So you have a choice. You can believe what God's word says about you, that you're uniquely, wonderfully made, or you can believe what some person who's broken said about you. You can believe the word of a broken person or the word of a loving God. Your healing is going to greatly depend on what you choose to believe about yourself. God made you just like you are, and he loves you just like you are. Matter of fact, that leads us to Psalm 136. Psalm 136 is a phenomenal psalm, and has another cool word that we're going to look at. In Psalm 136, verse 26, Scripture says, "Now give thanks to God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever." If you're here today with a broken heart, you feel unloved. One of the worst things in life is to go through life feeling unloved. You know, psychologists will tell us that the two basic needs of people is to love and to be loved. It is built into our DNA as people. You need to love and believe that you're loved, and you need to be a loving person. That's the first step of being a healthy person, is being able to love. I don't know if any of you have ever read Dante's Inferno, but in Dante's Inferno, there's the hottest part of hell, and the hardest part of hell is like seven levels of hell. It's not real. It's a poetry. Right? It's a book, right? So you got seven levels of hell, but Dante says in the very bottom part of hell is resigned for the people who do not have the capacity to love. And, you know, I'm not sure that's true in the cosmological sense, but I think it's true in the earthly sense. If you cannot love and cannot love well, you live a hell every day of your life. If you cannot receive love and receive love well, you live a hell every day of your life. There is no doubt that if you're sitting here with a broken heart, you've begun to wall your life off. You have. You've begun to build a wall around your heart. I'm not going to sing Sting. You guys know Sting, the Police, Sting, right? I built a fortress around my heart. Remember that song? I'm not going to sing it, right? But Sting had a great song. He said, "I built a fortress around my heart." And you know what? You can sort of build this fortress around your heart and protect yourself from any kind of love. And if you've been hurt today, that's your tendency to do it. And when you do it, what you do is you just establish yourself, your own personal hell. Here's what you got to know that'll break that down. You are specifically, eternally, and forever loved by God. In Psalm 136, verse 26, it says that God's love is steadfast. That means it doesn't walk out. It means that God's love never walks out on you. It never leaves you. It never forsakes you. It never runs away. When you hit middle age and everybody's walking out, God's standing firm. When you don't get that promotion and make that money and she leaves you because somebody else does, God's love doesn't leave you. When your kids don't call, and they should, and one of mine hasn't called me in 2 days, we're going to have a discussion. I mean, you have kids for a couple of reasons, right? And one is to pester them to death. Parents, can I get a witness? Absolutely. I mean, that is one of the things you do. Teenagers, when you go off to school, call your parents. Parents, can I get an amen? Call your parents. They love you. They put up with you when nobody even liked you. They didn't walk out on you. When your heart's been broken, you think everybody loves like the person who broke your heart. You think everyone, that's how they love and that's how they interact. So when you begin to think and pray to your Heavenly Father, you have suspicions somewhere in your heart and mind. Can God really love me like He promises? I have great news for you today. God loves you better than that. There have been nights in my life, dark nights. There was a guy named Watchman Nee wrote a line called The Dark Night of the Soul. And some of you understand that phrase. Even I don't have to explain it. You know what having a dark night in your soul looks like. And there have been dark nights in my soul when the options of life and death were confusing. They blurred. One seemed just as important as the other. And I cried out to God. And here's what I knew. God loved me in the deepest, darkest time of my life. God's love is steadfast. He didn't walk out. Friends walked out, but God didn't walk out. He never, ever walks out. Amen. If you're here today with a broken heart, let me tell you as your friend, God loves you. Amen. And He will not walk out on you. Your spouse may, your kids may, your friends may, but your God doesn't walk. He is steadfast. He is firm. Now, right now, some of you don't need that. Some of you don't need that word, but you know what? You have friends who do. You have friends who need that word. When you walk out of here, I'm asking that you get online, get on the phone, and you talk to someone who's out there with a broken heart, who's alone in their thoughts and in their feelings, feeling like everyone has left them. They need to know that there is a God whose love is steadfast. Now, finally, the fourth thing we got to know if we're going to heal from a broken heart is that God is in control. Romans 8:28, you can turn there if you choose. Most of you know it. But Romans 8:28 says, "And now we know this, for all of us who love the Lord, that God is causing all things to work together to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose." Here's what you got to know. That when your whole world is falling apart and your heart is shattered into a million pieces, God is still in control. Your broken heart didn't break God's power. Your broken heart didn't break God's connection to you, to your life, and to what He has for you. You can't control what other people do. When you're young, the world is so idealistic. You know, you just think, well, if you just do this and just do this and just do this, everything's going to work out. How many of you know that you can do all the right things and then bad things still happen? Anybody with me? And when you begin to deal with relationships, it becomes way more complicated than that. You can love and be kind and be gracious and do everything you can, but the other side walk. That is just true. That can happen. And you need to know that when they walk, God still has a plan for your life. You don't have to walk around with a scarlet A on your head, you know, a scarlet D, divorce. Y'all know the scarlet letter? Where are my teachers? Scarlet letter, right? Right? You don't have to walk around with a scarlet D on your head and be a second-class citizen and feel like God doesn't love you anymore. That is not how it works. God loves you. He is still working things out in your life. Now, I'm not a country music fan. We had this argument in church back in the summer. If you weren't here, it was fun. But I was raised just south of Detroit, so I was raised, you know, on Motor City music, you know, Motown and Ted Nugent. That's what I was raised on, Motown and Ted Nugent. Now, and some of you down here, you were raised on Lynyrd Skynyrd, I guess, right? That's Jacksonville, right? Right, okay, so you're raised on Lynyrd Skynyrd, right? So not being a country music fan necessarily, there is a line I know from a country music song, and I don't know how it got in my head, the devil, I suppose. I'm kidding. But it says, the line, it's something from a song, I don't know if it's a title, just the line, it says, "I thank God for unanswered prayers," or all you guys know the song, right? Don't sing it, right? Please don't sing it,
That does not usher in the Holy Spirit, trust me, right? Don't sing it. The only Garth Brooks song I know is I've Got Friends in Low Places. And I'm not going to go into how I know that song, so I don't want to talk about that. We're in church, and I'm the preacher, and I don't have to. But isn't it true that sometimes God's grace is in saying no? Because what he's weaving together is something better for you and something better for the kingdom. How many of you know that sometimes relationships have to end so better ones can begin? How many of you know that sometimes a broken heart gets put back together to be stronger and bigger and better than it was before? Amen. Don't you know that's true? God says in Romans that he's working all things together for the good. He didn't say all things are good. All things aren't good. Somebody walking out of you, not good. Somebody cheating on you, not good. Kids not calling, not good. There's a lot of things. It's not good. But God's working all of your life together for something that is good. Amen. That will be used by him in his kingdom. If you're here today and you have a broken heart, you have to understand that no one is perfect. Whoever did it, cut them a little slack. They're a sinner just like you. Second, you're uniquely made. In the wake of that broken heart, those feelings begin to flood your life. Remind yourself God put you together just like he wanted to, and he loves you just like you are. And he would do it again. He doesn't need a mulligan. He loves you just like you are. Next, you are specifically loved by God, and God doesn't walk out. Right. Somebody may have walked out on you, but God doesn't walk out. And then finally, God is in control. When you feel out of control and your world fell apart, God was still in control. As I was getting ready to talk to you guys today, I was praying so hard that if someone walked in these doors with a heart that's still broken, that God would heal that heart and begin to put it back together. The Lord loves you so much. He wants you to walk through life with a whole heart, not a fractured heart. But we have to understand these four things to begin to move ahead. Pray with me, please. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just ask you right now. Who would be honest enough with the Lord and just with me to say, you know what, Terry? I still have a broken heart and I need healing. Just lift up your hand. Just lift up your hand. Wow. Lift up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. So many of you. Thank you for your honesty. God draws near an honest heart. He really does. So thank you for your honesty. So here's what you need to do. Right there where you sit, just pray, Lord, help me understand that the person that hurt me is a sinner just like me. Help me understand that other people have had their heart broken just like me. And Lord, help me understand as they got through it, so will I, starting today. Second, thank the Lord that you're uniquely made. God, thank you for making me the way that I am. I've struggled with self-esteem issues. I've struggled with self-image issues. I've struggled with body issues. I've struggled with comparison issues, whatever it may be. But Lord, you made me me and help me be happy with me. Then, thank the Lord for his specific, steadfast, non-walking out love. Lord, thank you that when others walked out on me, you never did. Thank you that when others broke my heart, you never did. Thank you that in the deepest, darkest night, I can cry to you and know that you hear me and that you love me. Thank you.
then finally, ask the Lord to increase your faith in the reality that He is in control. Lord, help me trust You and believe that You're in control when everything seems to be so out of control. Help me to trust You. Now, secondly, some of you are going to leave here today, and this talk wasn't for you, but it's for somebody you know. I wonder if right now, just in your heart and your mind, you'll commit to share this with somebody this week. Either online, telephone, go by their house, take them to coffee, whatever it might be, but that you'll let them know there is help and hope for a broken heart. There truly is. Would you please just make a commitment right now to share that? And then finally, most importantly, is this. If you're here today and don't know Christ, the most important decision you can make is to surrender your heart and life to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. If you've never done that, I'm going to invite you to walk down this road right now. Just say, Lord, it's me. Thank You for hearing my prayer. Jesus, I believe You died on the cross for me. I believe You resurrected bodily from the grave on the third day. And right now, I surrender myself to You and declare You Lord, Lord over my life. I turn from my sins and I embrace You as Savior. Holy Spirit, come and fill me now and seal me to the day of salvation. Jesus, thank You for hearing my prayer. Thank You for changing my life. If you prayed that prayer for the first time today, I'm going to ask you to come see me after the service. I want to get you a Bible. I want to talk to you about baptism. We try real hard here not to manipulate, but to throw the door wide open for those who want to follow Christ and who are called to follow Christ. So please come up here immediately afterwards and let me talk to you about your next steps. I'd love to help you. Well, Father, for those who lifted their hands today saying they have a broken heart that needs healing, I pray, Lord, that You would just move through the power of the Holy Spirit on them. Do profound work in them, with them, and through them right now, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. For those who are going to take this message, take these truths, these biblical truths, and share with others, I pray that they will find people who are receptive and hungry, who want to hear from You and have that broken heart healed. And Lord, if there's someone here today who's turned their life over to You, they've surrendered themselves to You and they want to follow You, Jesus, I pray You give them the courage. Holy Spirit, move on them to take the next steps. And the next step is that public baptism. So, Lord, I pray that You would move on their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Man, we're so glad that you guys have come today. Thank you so much for being here. Before we're dismissed, we have just a couple things for you. Ushers, do we have ushers today? Ushers? Yes, we do. Ushers, come on down. Ushers are coming down. This is where we receive our morning tithes and offerings and collect our prayer cards. Let me say a big thank you to all of you for filling out these prayer cards. You don't know how much it means to me to pull that list out of my box on Monday and see it filled front and back with prayer requests. Thank you so much for letting us know how to pray for you. Please always, always continue to pray. If you don't have time to write this out right now and put it in the offering plate, we have boxes at every door that you exit, and you can shove this right there in one of those boxes, and we'll get it, and we will pray for you. Guests, the only thing we ask of you, if you give us some information, we'd love to have it. We'd like to send you a card and a thank you for coming to be with us and just find out how we can serve you better. So if you do that, we would really appreciate it. We give here at Grace for three reasons. We give because Jesus is Lord. Amen? We give because the gospel is the most important message in the world, and we give because it gives you a chance to move your heart closer to the Lord. Scripture says that where your heart is, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So as you give, guess what? Your heart moves closer. Are you happy with where you are with the Lord? Or you want to have a more dynamic relationship? It's connected to giving. God did that connection. It's in the Scriptures, and I promise if you'll do it, He'll honor that even today. Pray with me. Father, as we receive our morning tithes and offerings, I pray, Lord, You'll be received. Lord, those who give, I pray that You would bless them. I pray, Father, You would expand their territory. I pray, God, that they will see Your hand at work in every area of finances in their life. Father, those who can't give today, I pray that You increase their goods, increase their wherewithal. And, Father, increase their faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much. Ryan, come on up.
Good morning. Just a couple of quick announcements for you. Some of the students are leaving because they're headed back to the kitchen to go get your barbecue dinners prepared. We've got quite a few to-go plates for you back there. If you're like, Pastor Ryan, I didn't put in my reservation, that's okay. We have some extras. We always do that, but they're $8 a plate, and all the proceeds, everything was donated to us, so that was fantastic. So 100% of the proceeds come to the student ministry, and so I've been really, really thankful for that. But if you've got plans to go out and eat, maybe you want to stop and grab some barbecue chicken and not go out to eat. You could, you know, eat stuff here. But we've got barbecue chicken and beans and coleslaw, homemade coleslaw. So we'd love to have you come and join us. You can pick up your to-go box in the kitchen. You're like, where's that at? Go into the gym and then follow your nose because it's right that direction, okay? Wednesday nights are going well. We started the last 2 weeks. We've been back full swing. We've got nursery. We've got elementary school. Youth are meeting upstairs. The adults are meeting down in the wing. And so we're having a great time with that. And I know that Pastor Terry's going to talk about this as well, but we've got our churchwide journey coming up in September. If you want to sign up for a life group, maybe you've never been in one, we do have sign-up sheets in the back. For those of you who want to join and become a part of that for the six-week journey, it's a great opportunity to plug in and get involved in that, but we'd love to have you. But those sign-up sheets are in the back. Awesome.
Great. Yeah, I want to mention to you, on September 9th, we'll be meeting in here. First Service will be in here with us. We'll spend a few minutes together, and then we'll head down to the gym for a celebration time. So we want to ask everybody to bring a dish, sort of a brunch kind of a thing like we did back in the summer. If you could just plan on doing that, that would be great. We're going to provide the drinks for you that day. And we're going to be celebrating two things. One, we'll be starting our fifth year as a church. Amen? Amen. 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 So we'll be celebrating that, and we'll be kicking off our 40 Days of Purpose journey, or What on Earth Am I Here For? We've not done a church-wide study before, and so this will be the first time in starting our fifth year. Let me tell you why this is important. We're all busy. We all have hectic lives. This is just absolutely true. But we're working really hard to push the pause button for 40 days, to set aside just a little time every day for 40 days to read something about the Lord, to pray, to hear from him and see what God would speak to your life. Regardless of what generation you're a part of, God has a specific plan for you. He wants you. Listen, there's no such thing as retirement. You may put it in a lower gear, but you don't get to retire yet, right? God has a plan for you at every stage of your life. And there's no better study to help you get in position to hear from the Lord than this one. Three ways you could connect. First, you could be here every Sunday. The sermons will be theme-driven. They'll be according to the theme of the 40 days, and you can find that in the book. The second way is to get a book. On the 9th, we're going to have books. The books are free. If you can give a $5 donation, that would help. If you can give to help cover other people's books, that would help. But everybody can get a book. You get a book, you do the reading every day, it'll take you 5 minutes. 5 minutes to do the reading, a couple minutes to pray, to ask the Lord to speak that to your heart, and then, of course, come Sunday and be a part of the larger fellowship as we preach through the theme. And then the third way you could connect is do the first two things and then get involved in a group. That's a Sunday school class or a life group. We have Sunday school classes in the morning. We're going to have three. We have a men's class, a women's class, and we have a class where couples are welcome. And all of that should be there in the back, and you can find that out. Also, we're going to have life groups. Life groups meet in homes, and they will meet every Sunday night during the 40 days, not every night. Somebody said, every night at church? What's up with that? No. Every Sunday night during the 40 days, they'll meet. We encourage you strongly to get involved in a group, okay? There are groups back there. We're going to have some more listed back there next week. But the time is coming where you really need to sign up so we know that you're going to be a part, okay? Please sign up. Go back there and look. Now, if you're already a part of a group, the assumption is you're going to be a part of that group. So there's really no need for you to sign up. The leaders sort of get it that you're going to be a part of their group. If you're already in a Sunday school class, the assumption is you're going to be a part. So be a part of that to be sure. Listen, I promise you, you will not regret spending 40 days hearing from the Lord. You just won't. God will speak to you, and it'll be a wonderful thing. Well, we're excited about this. Ask that you reach out. If you're a group leader, let me mention this to you too. If you're a group leader, particularly if you're a new group leader, the way your group will grow is if you get on the phone and call people you know. I've been doing this 30 years. Signups rarely drive new groups to success. It works when you get on the phone and call. It works when you, in about 1 minute when we pray and are done, okay, you walk up to somebody and say, hey, I'm starting a group. It's going to be at Sunday. It's going to be whatever. Come and be a part. Your personal connection will make the difference. That's how groups grow. So I want to encourage you to, if you're a leader, particularly of a new group, to reach out, make phone calls, talk to people, invite them in. That's just typically how it works the best. Okay? Well, stand with me if you will. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will be done. Next week, come be with us. Bring someone. We'll be worshiping the Lord, and we're trusting God to do something great in your life, to be sure. Well, Father, we love you so much. We thank you for today. And now, Father, we pray that you would be with all these, your people. Lord, bless them and keep them. Father, extend your grace to them. Lord, I pray you would use them in an amazing way this week to reach someone with the gospel. Father, as people struggle this week, Holy Spirit, just be so strong in their life. Give them wisdom to walk. Lord, we are believing that we're going to have the greatest week ever in our life. Lord, we love you. Thank you for today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. See you next week.